Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Coming up, we got an NFL Power Hour coming your way. One team you don't think might be in trouble, but they kind of are.
Cleveland!
Cleveland's fine. They won. It's good.
Ooh, Well, Cleveland's fine.
They won a game.
Those pesky Houston Texans again, though, buddy.
Hey, buddy, I told you Texans were going to be great. No matter who
they're
the quarterback is. Tyrod Taylor.
Now my guy's hurt.
Davis Mills. Haley Mills. Doesn't matter.
Well, there you go. Nicely done.
Are you
talking about when she was a kid?
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, the Parent Trap? Or are we talking about Good Morning, Miss Bliss?
No, we'll go back to Parent Trap. We'll go back to Parent
Trap.
Okay.
I was trying to bring the Saved by the Bell crew in.
Sure. No. Nick's legend Steve Mills. Could be Mike Mills from R.E.M.
He's had a long, storied career. But, yeah, I mean, the strange adventure that is the career of Tyrod Taylor took another turn in the return bout with Cleveland, because, remember, he was a quarterback there for a minute.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the Chargers, and then now in the planet Houston. And they fight gamely. They don't have enough, but boy, man, they're going to fight you. They're like the Lions. For three quarters, man, we're going to hang around. Unless you're Jacksonville, and then we're just going to pummel you into oblivion.
Yeah. Ty Shirt, who did you pop in there after I was going through all the famous Mills?
I said Steve Miller.
That's Miller. This is Mills.
Yeah, like Miller Lite.
I'm a joker.
No. Mills is it's Mills. Like Miller's like
Mills.
Too easy a name. We go from Mills to it's too easy a name. You have to go like you got to go from Mills to like Millsy or something.
I mean Mills Lane. Let's get it on.
Like Rance Mullenix. Yeah, Mills Lane's a good one. I got Rance Mullenix.
Donna Mills.
Donna. Oh, I had a big crush on Donna Mills.
Oh,
back
of course
in the
you did.
Oh, I love Donna Mills. Oh wait, but here's the biggest thing. Tyshirt, can you name one song by the Steve Miller Band?
That one where it's the, oh gosh, how'd I go?
Does it go?
I'm trying to remember it too. It was like Sweet Caroline,
like
right?
Close. It starts out, there's a lady who's sure.
Oh boy.
All glitters is gold.
I think it's coming back to me now.
That's Steve Miller Band, yeah.
Okay, are you
now?
Sure?
I'm absolutely positive, yes.
I think Pink Burnett is the one it is.
No. The other song that starts out. Dun, 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 dun.
Wow.
Don't they sing Stacy's Mom?
Yes, they do, actually. Yes,
I knew it.
They sing Stacy's Mom. Steve Miller Band. Who wants to hear Stacy's Mom?
I listen.
And a two, and a three, and
I would like to hear his rendition. I'm not going to lie to you.
And TJ, I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm Stacy's mom's boyfriend.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
He's now 77 years old, still getting it on.
Yeah.
Born
yeah.
Milwaukee,
Wisconsin. No, yeah. Funny thing is that the Berman thing, I was watching the halftime show before we came on the air, and I said, oh my God, I got to mention this, because he gave like really old movie song line before he did the fastest 3 minutes in sports. And I forget what it was. I go, oh my God. It's something from like 40 years ago, or he just ran the line. It was funny. So, again, big power hour of football here coming your way. And let's kick things off right now with Aaron Rodgers, right? You heard a bit of him a little while ago. Wasn't really that into talking about Aaron Jones and his contract extension in the offseason. Can you ask me another question? I really have no reaction to it. But here he is answering a question in regards to everybody who doubted the Packers off of their week one loss to the New Orleans Saints, and listen for the bleeps.
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that. Even more now than when I started playing, there's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Sure. Because, coming in and beating the Chiefs the way they did tonight, I mean, that was a – oh, no, wait, sorry. Coming in tonight and beating the Bucks. the way they did was a big, it sends a message to the Reds. Oh, no, wait, no, they didn't. Wait. Oh, you know, coming in and really, and beating the Bills the way they did, you know, the Bills high powered off, that really showed, oh, no, wait. Oh, they played the Lions. Oh, right, it's the Lions. Yeah, let's get chesty after beating the Lions on a Monday night. The Lions who have given up and they're putting Jared Goff out there at quarterback. Not a, I'm going to get chesty and say, hey, yeah, you thought we were so bad. Look at the win we had tonight. Dude, the team you got boat raced by last week got boat raced this week. All right, so just think about that for a second. Yes, I know, week one to week two overreaction doesn't mean it didn't happen. All right, you want to feel positive after beating the Lions. Wait, it's the Lions. Okay, their defense is awful, right? You did what you had to do. You won the game. I get it. But now I'm going to get chesty after beating the Lions. I mean, really, that's like me getting chesty saying, I just beat an 18-month-old in the foot race. I just won. We started. I ran so fast. I pulled a couple of muscles. But boy, I did that. I mean, really, that you're going to get chesty after beating the Lions? That's where you're doing it? Really? Wow. Okay.
Well, you know what? You take your wins on the day. The mantra on the show and in life is find your wins. Because, look, everybody's got something that's weighing on them. Their job, relationships, the kids. You know, whatever the case. You know, kids, the dog barking at you just because you looked at him funny. All of those kind of things can happen in traffic. Traffic's back. I mean, pick whatever your ill is, wherever you're listening. We appreciate you being part of the family. And Aaron Rodgers felt, at least for one day, he needed to get some of it off his chest, right? He does it with McAfee, and he did it through all his media minions throughout the offseason, right? He didn't do a lot of direct contact with anyone, and then when he had the chance with Kenny Mayne, he soft-shoed that one, right? He didn't really say anything there. That was a big opportunity. Kenny Mayne, I guarantee you, walked off that set and went beyond the blank you, Aaron Rodgers. He also said that off going, I thought I was going to get something good from him. I got nothing. He gave me nothing. All of this, and he comes on, he's going to be on my last show, and he doesn't give me anything. So now Aaron Rodgers finally just said, okay, we beat up on the Lions. Campbell in his medium polo shirt, right? His dry fit. We got that going. And now we move forward 1-1 and look at the points we put up. And everybody's going to pull back and laugh at it going, come on, man. You were 12.5 points favorites. You're at home. They had a big emotional second half against San Francisco that fell short. So, yeah, you're wondering if they're going to be able to sustain that. Not to mention on an all 53, they don't belong on the field with you at the moment. But for a few plays and sequences, and they fought you hard for about three quarters. But you have a better roster, which means you should eventually pull away. And they did. They got a bogus pass interference call. Should have been a field goal. Instead, they were able to turn that into one of the touchdowns for Aaron Jones. And then you had the great defensive play at the end. I mean, you know, margin of victory could have been a little bit different. And maybe it's not all hunky-dory and everybody laughing and joking it up. But for Aaron Rodgers, yeah, this was the opportunity to get a little bit off his chest. Hopefully he does this for the rest of the season. Because that we spotlighted the answer about Aaron Jones' contract. You know he wanted to say, yeah, these bleepers won't work with me, but they went with his agent and they found him a contract, made him happy. What about me?
I mean, he is going to continue to move the goalposts this year, right? Now, and I really thought, to be quite honest about Rodgers and the Packers, is that it would be somewhat of a quiet year. Because the Packers are going to come out. They were going to win. Look, it's Rodgers' last dance situation. And look, clearly they have issues. But Rodgers had said, no, we're fine. Okay, all right, we'll see. And I thought it was going to be one of those quiet years. And it would really turn up the heat on it late in the season. Because, look, we have 17 weeks of games. And eventually the Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be traded? Is he not? Is going to leave way and segue into the season. And we're talking about the game. So that's how it goes in the NFL. The big drama storylines of the preseason mainly get chewed up by the weekly machine of the NFL and wins and losses and who's playing well and who's not and fantasy and betting and all those things. But clearly Aaron Rodgers is going to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm okay with continuing this on through the season, right? Because he easily had chances tonight where he could have just blown stuff off, right? The Aaron Jones question, hey, you happy he got extended in the offseason? What were you thinking when he got extended? And he says, I don't really remember. I don't know. He could have easily blown it off. Hey, Aaron Jones, he's a great player, man. And he had a great night tonight. It's awesome. I'm glad. I'm happy for him. You know,
we need him. We blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he could have blown this off too by saying, hey, look, I told everybody, relax. We could have had fun with it and said, relax. Now it's, there's a lot of blankety blank stuff that was said. I'm sure he'll go on Pat McAfee's show and curse because that's like all the big, you can curse on Pat McAfee's show. Oh, that's why everybody goes, you can curse. And oh, my goodness, I can hear a curse word. He's going to do that. But he wants to stay in it now. He's someone that, hey, you know what? I kind of like this ridiculous battle with people that sometimes is something I'm inventing and sometimes it's just me fighting it on the internet. No, he is okay with fighting this all season long, which honestly is not what I want to hear if I'm the Packers. I want to say, hey, if this is your last dance, dude, let's just go out, right? Whatever it winds up being at the end of the year, let's ball out and let's just see where the chips fall at the end. And maybe it ends with us in the Super Bowl, but that's what we're thinking, right? We brought a new defensive coordinator because we have really good players at very important positions on defense, a cornerback, linebacker, defensive line. We got big players that can make big differences here, right? We re-signed Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon can be a great backup if we ever need him. We haven't needed him yet because Jones was really, really good tonight. All right, let's do that. But no, Rodgers still wants to kind of twist the knife. And it's like he changes his target when it becomes apropos, and now it's okay. Here's all the naysayers after week one. Okay, great. You keep going here. Then eventually it's going to be back at the front office. It's going to be different. He doesn't want to stop. And I honestly thought he was going to do exactly what he did last season, which was okay. You drafted Jordan Love. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go out and have an incredible season. At the end, then we're going to have a conversation. There's going to be a reckoning. And then we're going to see where it goes. And that's exactly what happened, right? Didn't say anything, went through the season, got to the NFC Championship game. They fell just short. You can blame Matt LaFleur kicking a field goal as much as you want, but they still fell just short. And then everything fell apart after, which if you're Aaron Rodgers, okay. Being the teammate you are, you didn't do anything during the season. You saved it till after the season was over. There was a long time from the end of the season all the way until training camp. By the time you got to training camp, everything was solved and resolved, right? Devontae Adams was able to pick a side. Other players were able to pick a side. Aaron versus the team. Everything was done, right? You had a great training camp. All right, now we're back on here. And now I'm still going to get involved. I'm still going to be somebody, whether I'm salty about my contract, my situation, whether it's, talking about saying great things about another player or, shutting up the trolls, he's still going to be that guy. And that's not what you want to see from Aaron Rodgers going into the season, because you want to see a guy that's focused, that's going to take this season and go, okay, we are all into this now. Or is he more into making sure that his image is where it should be? So for after this season, when he goes someplace else for the rest of his NFL career, he's got it where he wants it to be. So I got to be honest, like seeing Aaron Rodgers so far this year, I can't be that enthused if I'm a Packers fan seeing that, okay, he still wants to get involved in this stuff when this should be football time.
Well, but that's the end. In between the white lines, he's got to perform. If he wants to talk and talk smack against people and pundits on the radio or television or what the fans are putting in the message blogs, like they are during draft day when Kevin Costner threatens the Seattle Seahawks and their front office. I see the blogs. I see what they're writing. Like if Aaron Rodgers wants to concern himself with that and that's the rest of his week, that's fine. He's got 165 hours to worry about that, to stew about that, to be a jackass about that, whatever he wants to do. But for 3 hours, he better damn well come and play football. That's the bottom line. He can't have any more games like you had in week one in a trash effort against New Orleans, who, yes, I know they were down a bunch of coaches. They had 128 yards of offense against the powerful Carolina Panthers. Yeah, so don't have any more efforts like that, and everything will be fine, Aaron. Just keep talking. But if you can keep putting up numbers like this against the Lions, say whatever the hell you want.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I'm telling you, just something to stick a pin in for now. Just stick a pin in it and see how it goes. Rogers, he still likes it. Sometimes when you get a hold of that, hey, I love being involved in all this crazy ass stuff, you can't let it go because it's a new game. And just why he wants to be in it all through this year. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Running your own business requires a lot of running around, from bookkeeping to client meetings. You run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, more from the National Football League, including what team you don't think is in as much trouble as they are and a potential surprise division winner. That's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh.
And first, let me just say this, right? Because I need to say this, right? So, Jason, I've listened to the show. You haven't said anything about Zach Wilson. Okay, Zach Wilson. He will be fine. He was terrible yesterday. He was awful. He was so incredibly bad, and it's not like the Patriots did anything to try to stop him, right? This was not some exotic game plan dialed up by Bill Belichick to say, oh, we're going to confuse him. He's going to be seeing ghosts. No, he just tried to make too many big plays, and he shouldn't have. Right, so it's okay. That's what it is. This is who the Jets signed up for, and at some point he's got to test that and realize what I can get away with in the NFL and what I can't. How accurate I can be, how accurate I can't be. The thing that sucks is that the game was pretty much there for the Jets, because the Patriots are struggling a little bit more to get going than you thought out of the gate. Right, offensively they're not quite where you thought they'd be. Defensively they're not quite where I thought. I thought their defense would be so dominant, and you know, week one they couldn't get it done against Tua, and week two, yeah, okay, when his first 2 passes get picked off and you throw 4 interceptions in your first 10 passes, yeah, that's, you're going to win games that way. So the Patriots, clearly it was there for them. The tough part is this, Mike, and this is where it's all about, is that as a fan, I watch the game and I go, you know what? It's 10 years of the same old crap, right? It's 10 years, and here's the fourth quarterback that's going to be the savior, that's going to be the guy, and no. And it's the fourth rebuilding plan in the last 10 years that you still have to say, all right, someday, but not today. You have to wait till 2022, right? The initial excitement of the season is gone, and you realize it's going to be a long year, and it's going to be, it could be 2012 or 2021. We're still getting boat raced by the Patriots. Bill Belichick is still beating us. It's still, well, maybe we have a quarterback, maybe we don't. We're going to see how the rest of this goes. We still don't have talent. We're probably going to finish last in the division. All of these things are still going on. No matter what they did, no matter who they brought in, four new quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, 4 GMs, 4 head coaches, it's still the same old bleeping thing. That's the tough part, is that now it's okay, it's time to unplug, because it's really about next season. As much as you think, well, okay, we know we're not playing for this year, it's really about, we're setting things up. But in the beginning of the season, you want to have a little bit of hope that, all right, maybe we can win a couple of games. And now you lose a game week one, you can't protect the quarterback. Week two, the quarterback can't stop throwing the ball to the other team. You still get him sacked 4 times. It's how long is this season really going to be? Do we have the right players around him? I don't know if we do. And it's another question of wait and maybe someday. They should play Mariah Carey someday every time people walk into MetLife Stadium for a game, because it's really what it is for the Jets. Maybe someday. It's not today. But someday, ooh, someday. I mean, that's what it is, and that's what it should be, and that's the really tough part as a fan. That was the tough part about yesterday. Not that they lost, not that Zach Wilson threw the ball, you know, incredibly poorly, but just it's this, where no matter what you think about the future, and I want to be excited about him and think he's the right guy, this is where it's at. It's the same bleeping thing from 10 years ago.
Well, look, not – they all count wins, losses, how you get there. It's just when the clock strikes zeros. But remember, week one, that the Patriots were in position to beat Tua if Damian Harris doesn't fumble. You at least get a field goal try. So maybe they'd be a 2-0 team, and you could feel better about yourself saying, well, they're a 2-0 team. And look at this. And now Tua is one of the many, many guys on the injury report of, well, we'll see how long he may be out. Welcome back, Jacoby Brissett. But when we look at your Jets, you know, there are plenty of teams across all leagues where you're in the build process. We've been talking a lot about the Lions tonight, and Jared Goff is by far – is far from the worst problem. Likewise in Chicago, for all the talk of Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, and the defense showed up in a couple of big spots this week against Cincinnati. He had three straight interceptions from Joe Burrow, who had gone 199 pass attempts without one, and then three straight, which was really kind of odd. And listening to Mark Sanchez on the call was kind of funny as he talked it out. But when you look at it, there are plenty of other issues on that squad, the O-line, the defensive backfield, and go on and on. But it always gravitates back to that quarterback position, especially in bigger markets. Why? Because it's sexier to talk about it. And when we look at the Jets, you've got a couple of component parts. Maybe Michael Carter is going to be your running back. Maybe he's not. But how many stars, right? It's like when you were talking about your Mets team when they were in first place. You had a bunch of Jags. It's like we're talking about the Giants. How do they keep doing it? Again, to go to Major League Baseball as an example, as we're through 2 weeks of this NFL season, just looking over a long haul, it's like, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're making it happen. Well, the Jets don't have enough guys that are putting up numbers to help support. And as all rookie quarterbacks are going to go through their fits and their problems. And if you face Bill Belichick, I don't have the numbers handy, but it's a tale as old as time, right? We've talked about it every year of, rookie quarterback, that's going to be a tough game. So what'd you do? You took your lumps this week, and you got hammered. And even if New England is still working things out with Mac Jones and the defense isn't dominant, well, you still got four off you, so you can't discount it altogether. And they got after your offensive line, which is bad. Mekhi Becton being lost for a long stretch here is bad for business. We know this. So, bad for you, Smith. You at least.
Oh, thanks for the Berman line. And better days ahead for the Jets. Better days ahead. Thanks for giving me the Berman.
Well,
I appreciate it.
You know, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, TJ. and you have, in theory, your rock and roll star. Now you just need to build around him. Right, and then that is going to be the biggest thing, right? Robert Saleh, is he the guy? Does he impart his style and bravado that we've seen in his past iteration, right? Past stops on his NFL journey to being a head coach? Can you change that locker room, and can you ever get past the insignia on the side of the helmet? But a lot of that just goes back to your ownership group and letting this guy go to work.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there you go. That's what
I made
think.
You sad.
That was yesterday. No, you did. And it doesn't matter, because sometimes you just have to be sad, and it's all right. Sometimes you just have to be frustrated, and you need some time to be that way, and that's just what it is. And this is what today was. Again, it's the same stuff for my entire 40s. They couldn't make the playoffs. My you took 1 year in my 40s. No, couldn't do it. No, we're going to continue to rebuild because we stink and we can't get it right. Sometimes you just got to be mad. Just got to be mad.
It's okay. Coming you up, can be angry. At least you're not a Falcons or Jaguars fan.
Oh, hey, just hang in there if you're a Jaguars fan. Okay, just hang in there. Urban Meyer's, everything's going to be fine. They're working hard. Hang in there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burris. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
you think everything is fine with the Chiefs, right? Game of the week in the NFL. We all watched the Ravens beat the Chiefs last night. Incredible theater down to the final minute, and the Ravens going for it on fourth and one to try to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Great decision. Lamar Jackson runs for the first down. First time he beat Patrick Mahomes, right? The Chiefs are in more trouble than you think they are. Not from the, oh, they're going to go 6-11, but I told you after last week, the Chiefs' defense is terrible and they can't run the football. What can you say after last night? Their defense is terrible and they can't run the football. This is the same Chiefs team for the past 3 years, basically. You're relying on everybody that you've relied on for the past 3 years. Now, you have Mahomes, who's going to win you so many games because he's the best quarterback in the NFL, and it's not close. But it's kind of Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and that's kind of it offensively. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just a guy. Right, clearly you see you can't run the football like you used to when it was Kareem Hunt. You're weaving guys in. Look how well we are running the football. Can't do that. You don't have quite the depth offensively you used to when your number one receiver was covered. We can always throw to Sammy Watkins or somebody else who can have a big game once out of every 4 weeks. No, you can't. The Chiefs struggle, and they struggle to run the football, and again, their defense is abysmal, right? They were torn up by Baker Mayfield in week one. They were torn up by Lamar Jackson last night, and no matter how you slice it, they struggle. And so now it's going to be on Patrick Mahomes to win a shootout every single week. And when you're the same team for the last 3 years, opponents are going to figure out a way to slow you down. If you can't run the football, you can't keep the ball away from us. So we're going to be able to keep up in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to have to be able to, you're not going to be able to say, okay, hey, we'll score 3 touchdowns in 7 minutes and suddenly we're winning. But no. You can't run the football. You can't keep it away from us. We're going to go back and be aggressive at you. That's what we've watched the last 2 weeks teams do offensively to the Chiefs. So when you're relying on Mahomes, and the Chiefs really don't play the regular season with the sense of urgency that other teams do. Even last year, they kind of felt like they were playing at three-quarter speed. When you go to the AFC title game in the Super Bowl the last couple of years, okay, we know where we need to be. We're going to pace ourselves. They kind of play the regular season like, well, eventually Mahomes is going to bail us out on this, and we're going to win a game. And that works. But now after 3 years, teams are kind of used to what you do. So now it's going to be a struggle for the Chiefs. And for the first time, I can see somebody else other than the Chiefs winning the AFC West, whether it's the Chargers, who had to continue to be a team that just kills themselves with mistakes, or the Raiders, who, hey, week two, look at what the Raiders did, right? All they had to keep going downfield. Let's see if the Raiders can keep going downfield. Let's see if they can still be the team they were week one. And guess what? Derek Carr went downfield, taking advantage of Henry Ruggs for a big touchdown. Very dynamic, much more dynamic this year offensively are the Raiders. This is, they really haven't had Josh Jacobs to be able to do anything. Doesn't matter because they're throwing the football downfield. This is a new Raiders team. At 2-0, it's because they're different. They are doing things. They're not relying on Captain Checkdown and throwing the ball 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. This is the Raiders team that is going downfield. That is a team that has improved. They've improved personnel-wise. The Chiefs are kind of the same. The Chiefs are going to be one of those teams that's going to be in the wild card mix, and we're going to be getting to December, and it's going to be, are the Chiefs really good? Could they potentially miss the playoffs? Could somebody else win 10 games, 11 games? Is 10-7 going to be good enough for the Chiefs to get in? Look, it happens, right? The Chiefs, what they had to do is figure out their offensive line problems, because clearly coming off the Super Bowl, you knew we got to replace some big guys on the offensive line. Great, and they've done that. Pass protection, Mahomes is terrific, but still, you don't have enough weapons, and you can't run the football. It's going to be more of a slog for the Chiefs than people think, because they're not quite the team they were the past couple of years. Everybody else has caught up. Some teams have gotten better. The Raiders are already a bad matchup for the Chiefs. They beat them once a year, basically. So, yeah, I can see the Raiders winning the AFC West and the Chiefs being a team that, hey, they're 9-6. Oh, you got to get to 10-6, 10-7. Here, they're in the wild card mix. That's going to be the year for the Chiefs, I see.
Something we normally do before the season begins. Let's go through the schedule. No, we're not going to do that with the Chiefs. Look, the Raiders with two huge wins against AFC North teams that people expected to contend. They beat the Ravens. Ravens come back and get these Chiefs in a thriller on Sunday Night Football. And then obviously the win over Pittsburgh. So when we look at the division, Denver with a couple of wins, but they're not going to be explosive, right? That defense solid, but we're probably looking at a team that's going to average what, 24 25 points per game, which isn't awful. But I don't know if you start getting into a shootout. Our guy, Teddy Two Gloves, is he going to be there ready to do it? The return of Cortland Sutton to a big game is a nice encouraging effect. And eventually Jerry Jeudy gets back. You got Hambler. You got Noah Fant. You got a lot of options, as well as that two-headed running attack. But overall, we're still probably looking at them as a 500 team, aren't we? Or slightly better than that. Chargers, this new year, same stuff. Not injuries at this point, but there was on the offensive line, and that showed in the replacement on one side. But, you know, again, some penalties on touchdown plays, so those get called back. You have a phantom call that goes against you, and then down the stretch, you get beat with the Zerline field goal. And you did everything you could to contain, you know, the offense that everybody said was going to light the world on fire. Dak Prescott. Sorry, buddy. I got to do it to you. Look at him. Oh, he's a hero. No. He sucked. Okay? They didn't get it done. They ran the ball effectively, almost 200 yards on the ground. Yes, go claim Tony Pollard in your leagues, available in about half of all fantasy leagues right now. You go through, and so that's two. And like I went through all of them. And then you have the Chiefs with their defensive issues. You just have to be within shouting range. We saw what they did in week one against Cleveland, and they should have had an opportunity here. You got the rare Mahomes mistake. And you've been living dangerously with him forever, right? Double-digit deficits, and he's been able to always fight back. It's a terrible terrible formula, but when you've got the dynamic player, thus far it's worked. And maybe at some point the sand in the hourglass runs out, like the days of our lives. But this is how they're living. Yeah. I mean, because they got no running backs you can go claim if you decided you don't like CEH. Damian Williams is trying reverses and sucks for the Bears. You got the 49ers and Ravens have claimed anybody that has been a running back in the National Football League in the last 48 months except for Frank Gore. So, I mean, you've got everything going on. You can't exactly go to the wire and go out on the street and find a guy ready to step in there. So, yeah, you're going to have to hope for better days for your defense and take advantage of games against the NFC West coming up. All right, the NFC East, I should say, because I'm looking at Washington, I'm looking at the Giants, and I'm still looking at that Cowboys game on November 21st.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I'm telling you, watch out. Chiefs struggling for a wild card. Coming up next. Hey, yes, the Packers had a big win over the Lions tonight, but maybe the two most entertaining things from this game come from elsewhere. What are they? We'll tell you coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And tonight was a really entertaining game. We watched the Lions stay close to the Packers pull away in. But maybe the most entertaining things happened during the game on the Manning broadcast, right? Because still, ESPN's doing this, right, at the main broadcast. Mm-hmm. Manning broadcast, which they're trying to bring more eyeballs to. They have guests crazy all over the place. And two things that were said on the broadcast tonight. The first one was when Peyton and Eli were joking around about the Patriots. Hey, maybe we should listen to the show the joke saying, yeah, maybe they bugged our locker room like the Patriots used to do years ago. Ha, 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 told ya. Ha, 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 told ya, told ya, told ya. Now it's bugging locker rooms. This isn't stealing plays. Now it's bugging locker rooms, Mike Harmon. This is like, let's get the Fred and George Weasley extendable ears going down into the locker room to listen what's being said and what's being put up on the board when they talk about strategy.
Yeah, I dig that he's going to go down this path, and one of the big critiques was Peyton needs to be a better, bigger brother and let Eli actually say something once in a while. But in this perspective, when the big story swirling in the National Football League is that Peyton Manning may be part of an ownership group to take over the Denver Broncos, yeah, this is what you want to do. Look at this scandal that the league ignored. Hey, I want to be an owner. Can I be that guy over here? Yeah, I don't know that that's a really good strategy, but sure, feel like it all you want. The guy who came up with more L's than W's in those matchups and thought he was the smartest guy in the room all the time. You know what? Take week 17 off another time and see how that works for you in the playoffs.
The other big thing that was said, and this is like really like I can absolutely see this not happening. They had Rob Gronkowski on. Yeah, you know, look, Brady had a big day last week. They talked about his day.
Sure.
And Gronk claims he doesn't watch game film. I completely believe that. If there's one guy say, yeah, I don't watch game film. Some guys I would say, come on, you're full of it. Everybody watches game film. No, the one guy, yeah, Gronk, no, I don't watch game film. I just kind of, what I do is I go out there, I line up, they snap the ball, I wait a second, and I run across the field in front of the linebackers, and for some reason I'm not covered, and Brady throws me the football. Like, that's every Rob Gronkowski play.
For some reason I'm not covered. You added that. You're editorializing.
Because how is this guy, a decade in, being one of the best tight ends I've ever seen, how is he still run uncovered on the field? I don't understand. But that's what he does. He waits for a second, he delays. He runs across the field. Nobody covers him, and he catches a pass. That's his entire career. It's like Wes Welker. Wes Welker, what do? I run to where nobody is on the field, and I sit, and I catch a pass for 8 yards, and I scoot ahead for six more. That's like every single play he did for his entire career. It's the same thing for Gronk. Why would he need to watch game film? That's what Rob Gronkowski does.
Run the same three or four routes. I mean, what else? That's it.
It's like Tecmo Bowl. Right? You got four plays. And just keep running these same four plays, man. I'm going to win.
Well, it's that old move from NHL 94. Not the one where you make Gretzky's head bleed, but the one where you skate behind the net and skate back out and they can't cover you, right? It was a glitch everybody knew. You had to outlaw the move if you were playing with your friends and family. And if then they did it, you got the goal on the other end to equalize. Like, don't do it again. Don't do it. We're not doing this thing. So, yeah, same thing here. Rob Gronkowski cheat code, and I completely agree. The man has not watched game tape.
No, I think who do you play against? I don't even know. Who are the defensive backs that are giving you trouble? Oh, I don't know. I don't watch film.
Well, you could just say seven now. You know, with these new numbers.
But then Brady would break in and go, let me tell you about the numbers that everybody has on. I don't like guys wearing four and seven and nine because I can't tell what position they play and block. I don't know if it's the linebacker or the safety. I got to get used to new numbers now. I'm so mad I'm only going to throw five touchdowns this week.
No, but that's right. How brilliant was he? Look at this rule you made to try to screw things up, and look at me, that I'm still smart enough to dominate it all. The last thing out of the weekend was I'm a bit tired of taunting penalties. It's really another level of absurdity.
Yeah, it's not very consistent. You know, it's and now that you've opened this up, it's either, okay, you have to continue on with this, or you got to just say, okay, you know, this is something that we tried and we have to just cut it out. Because, I mean, it's some of the stuff they call, I'm like, really? Well, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes a guy will do it, but the ref doesn't see it right. Sometimes you do it right in front of the ref. The ref is going to get incensed that you did it right in front of him and throw the flag. I mean, the refs are still human like that, and they still react that way. Yeah, not a big fan.
But if I clap over you after I make a big play, like in your general vicinity, you know, six feet of separation to stay in line with our mandates, you know, that's a penalty. Yet I could do the triple Lindy into the end zone, and that's not taunting? And overly celebrating? Like, what the hell?
Triple Lindy, toughest dive I ever saw. Mm. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome. Our Best Of podcast goes up in a few minutes on iTunes. Use the iHeartRadio app wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get it. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Download, subscribe. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. Ben Maller's coming up next. Jets, yo.